Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you this morning a warm welcome from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. It's good to have you worshipping online with us, but of course I can't see you, so I invite you to sign in today. There's a form above this video. Just type in your name and location and click on the red button and then I'll know that you're here. We're also going to be breaking bread together on this first Sunday of the month. So I invite you to have a piece of bread or a biscuit to hand and also a cup of water or some other liquid. And if you haven't got those, just pause the video right now and go and fetch some. Today we are celebrating harvest. The food behind me we'll be going to find at Ipswich Food Pantry. But as we're worshipping online and I can't receive any physical gifts from you, I would encourage you to think about making a monetary donation to FIND or to your local food pantry or to the Methodist Relief and Development Agency, All We Can, and their harvest appeal. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And please join me in our call to worship. Your parts are on the screen in white. How wonderful are the works of God. We give thanks and praise for the beauty of creation. God made all living things, animals, plants and humans, and calls us to care for and protect them all. As people of faith, we strive to care for all of creation. God equips and empowers us to live as good stewards. Let us worship and praise God together. So let us worship. Come, you thankful people, come. Let's sing together our opening hymn. It's number 123 in Singing the Faith.
Your side, come with
Let us come before God now in prayer. Creator God, we join in creation's song, jubilant because you are a God of justice. You reach out to all who you've made in your love, and in your hands, life flourishes. Your works are wonderful and your deeds are great. We praise your righteous name. And in the midst of our praise, let us pause to recall how we so often do harm to your beautiful world. We are sorry for the pollution, the plundering of Earth's resources, and the ways we've hoarded resources rather than share them generously. Forgive us. Help us to treat your world with the same concern that you show and to act in ways that help other people to flourish. Grant us clear minds to know you, new hearts to love you, strong hands to serve you. And help us live this day, this week, and always, so that our whole life is a thanksgiving to you. Amen. God did not send Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to be its saviour. We can trust God's word. You are a forgiven people. Our scripture today is being read by Elizabeth Story, who is one of our circuit stewards, and she's also a lay worker doing outreach work for Chantry and Lancy Road Methodist Churches.
The reading is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Creation is beautiful. The earth, stars, planets, the cosmos are so wonderfully made. As the psalmist said in Psalm 8, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." Well, our annual harvest festival is a reminder for us each year to give thanks for the earth, and that when we work it or farm the land, it yields so many crops. And so we come today bringing our gratitude and our praise. And while this time of pandemic has been a terrible time, there have been blessings that have come through it. during the time from March to the end of May, while we were allowed outside only to buy groceries and to take daily exercise, and we had to limit our driving, my husband, Adrian, and I made a point of taking those daily walks. We were able to explore so much more of the local area that we probably would not otherwise have had time to do. From Rushmere Heath and Purdis Heath and Bixley Heath Nature Reserve to the area around Fox Hill Stadium, to the many alleyways between houses, to the boardwalks through woodlands, and public footpaths zigzagging through open fields. And we saw beauty. Spring unfolded before our eyes, and the birds sang, and without the traffic we could hear them. We saw the fields ploughed and the crops planted and beginning to shoot. As time went on, we were allowed to use our cars and our local walks tailed off, and we went on weekly outings to places further afield and yet often still close by. Rushmere, St Andrew. Finn Valley, Martlesham, Felixstowe, the River Orwell, the River Deben, and Alton Water. And this beautiful field of poppies, although I'm not sure exactly where we found it. And then we saw the crops growing and being weeded and then finally ready for harvest. And we did some of our own harvesting too. And it was beautiful. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There's a Facebook group called View From My Window, where people have been sharing the view from a window in their house during lockdown. People from all around the world have shared pictures, and I did not submit my garden, but this was my view in Holy Week at the beginning of April. The owners of the group were upfront from the beginning that they intended to publish a book, and that book's now available for pre-order and will be out at the end of October. But I've enjoyed seeing such diversity, rural and city, coastal and inland, mountains and flatland, large gardens and tiny ones, beautiful vistas and views of walls. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. But all through this time, but especially in the last few weeks, we have seen pictures of what happens when we do not take care of the earth. These pictures of orange skies are from skies filled with smoke from the fires on the west coast of the United States of America. The fires are getting worse each year. They're larger and they're more intense. And it's not just trees and houses that are destroyed. The migratory birds are dropping out of the sky, and there are animals that are displaced. There was severe flooding in the United Kingdom last winter. It began again in August this year. Ethiopia is suffering from the worst drought in 50 years. Laying waste to harvests and threatening over 10 million people with hunger. I could go on and on talking about pollution of the air and the ocean, of rainforests being cut down and the loss of arable land, of fracking and overmining of the Earth's limited resources. In the passage we heard read, God said, "You shall have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." Now that word dominion has been interpreted in two very different ways. One interpretation is that creation was made for human beings and that we have a right to dominate and exploit creation for our own wants and needs. And this has led to incalculable abuses of nature. The other interpretation, and the one that I understand and embrace, is that the Hebrew word for dominion does not mean to dominate or to exploit. Rather, it means to take responsibility for, just as a ruler would be responsible to assure the well-being of those in their realm. According to Genesis 1, exercising responsibility as part of God's creation is the main reason why humans were created. Therefore, being stewards of creation is foundational to what it means to be human. Caring for creation is not an add-on, it's not a sideline, it's our calling. It represents our proper human relationship to the earth. This portrayal puts human beings squarely in a caretaker position in regard to environmental stewardship. Taking care of creation is our job. It's the first job named for people in Scripture. And at the beginning of our reading, before that was named, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion," and so on. We are supposed to take care of God's creation the way God would want us to do, and not the way that we want for our enjoyment. As we're created in God's image, in God's likeness, what would God do? Should I shower until all the hot water runs out because the hot water feels good? What would be the God-like response? Or should we proactively look for ways to preserve natural resources for future generations? Perhaps seeking ways to use less energy every day. What would be the God-like response? Now, the second creation story goes even further. In Genesis 2, verse 15, that we didn't read today, God says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it," New Revised Standard Version, "to work it and take care of it," New International Version, "to farm it and to take care of it," Common English Bible, "to cultivate it and guard it," the Good News Translation. As you can see, the English translators had some trouble with those words. In a theological reflection on the stewardship of creation that I read by David Rhodes, he said that the words translated as till and keep, or the other translations we had, may be misleading. The Hebrew word for till is a word used to depict the service that a slave gives to a master. And the Hebrew word for keep means to preserve for future generations. And so we get the mandate to serve and to preserve the land, to serve and to preserve the land, which places human beings not in a hierarchical position over creation, but in a position of service to it. Just as the later Christian message depicts Jesus as a servant king, so humans are challenged in this creation story to assume a similar role. Care for creation is to be exercised not to serve our own wants and desires, but to serve the best interests and well-being of the whole earth community together, including ourselves. God wishes for all species, not simply human beings, to survive and to thrive. We must choose to participate in God's desires and efforts to care for creation in such a way that creation can continue to care for people for generations to come. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. The pandemic shutdown showed us what is possible. The earth was able to breathe for a while. With fewer cars on the road and planes in the sky, the reduction in air and water pollution was dramatic, especially in some of the most polluted areas of the world. The air became cleaner. This is Los Angeles. Noise pollution dropped. We could hear the birds. Animals and birds benefited. Animals enjoyed new room to roam, either due to lack of human activity or, in some cases, in search of food. These goats wandered around the Welsh seaside town of Llandudno. Turtles laid eggs on deserted beaches in India and had a better chance of survival. And birds in Britain benefited from quieter surrounds, making it easier for them to communicate. And the habitats of ground nesting birds like skylarks and grey partridges were not trampled by dogs and other animals or us. And there was significantly less roadkill too, which was great for the toads and hedgehogs and many other creatures. Even the plants benefited. Many councils had to make dramatic cuts, and parks and verges went unmowed, allowing wildflowers to bloom and spread their seeds. The plants also benefited from a lack of cars and CO2 emissions. This is a photo of Surrey in May. It was a timely reminder of our impact on the earth, and that we can make a difference. I saw this picture recently of a building called Bosco Vertical in Milan. It's a high-rise building built to take the weight of trees and bushes planted on the verandas. The World Council of Churches has a roadmap, and perhaps that is a place for us to start. They say that a rapidly growing movement of faith-based and grassroots initiative has the aim of reshaping the future. We see this broad unity as a historic opportunity and sign of hope. Therefore, we invite congregations, communities, and churches to join a pilgrimage for an economy of life and climate justice, to commit to make changes in the way we live, to share successful ideas, and to encourage one another. And their roadmap has 5 steps. One is to do with agriculture and our gardens and the use of water. Secondly, renewable energy and how we save and use that energy. The third one is fairly traded goods, talking about and then reducing waste and reusing and recycling. And then the economy, thinking about things like free cycling and selling used goods and a skills exchange and ethically investing. And the 5th point, networking, to raise voices together for new initiatives. I put a link to that on our website. Phoebe Parkin, this year's youth president for the Methodist Church, spoke a couple of weeks ago at our district synod. Our young people are advocating for the earth and asking us to think about what we can do. Her closing words hit me when she said, "You cannot do everything, but your church can pick one thing and then do that really well." So what specific thing are we going to do? Take some time to think about what you can do for eco-justice, personally, in your church, or even what you think we ought to be doing as a circuit in this upcoming year. How can we practically be better stewards and caretakers of the world? We will talk more about this in the upcoming weeks and months. I've just finished leading a book study on racism that I opened up to the whole circuit. I will be shortly starting a book study on something to do with earth stewardship. So look out for that announcement in the next couple of weeks. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So let us cherish this place, our world, our home, and work and care together for God's creation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, as we listen or sing our next song, "For the Fruits of All Creation," let us give our thanks to God for everything that he has made, and remember that in the just reward of labour, in the help we give our neighbour, in our worldwide task of caring, in the harvests we are sharing, God's will is done. It's number 124.
For the fruits of all creation, thanks be to God. For the gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, weeding, silent growth while we are sleeping, future needs in earth safe keeping. Just reward of labor, God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In our worldwide task of caring for the hungry and despairing, in the harvest we are sharing, God's will.
Now, hopefully you have your bread and your water close by you as we come to this time of sharing together. We cannot have communion together over this video, but we can break bread together. Jesus said, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among you. So feel the power and the presence of the risen Christ with you right now. Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You've given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. So here in my hands is the story of God's love for us all. The gospel writer John wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Remember the stories of God's love for the whole of creation that can sustain you wherever you are. And I invite you to pick up your glass of water. Without water, there can be no life. We were baptized by water and the Spirit into God's family. Water reminds us of the gifts of creation that God has so abundantly given us, and of the love and grace that we've all received. So drink the water slowly, feel it flow into your body. Know that God's love is flowing into your body and soul right now. Now take a piece of bread or a biscuit into your hands. John wrote in his gospel, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" So eat the bread that you have here today. May it be God's gift for you and remind you of God's provision for us physically and spiritually. Remember also the times you've received the bread of life in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Remember those who gathered with you. Remember the presence of Christ in that moment. Be assured that Christ is with you in every moment of your life. Amen. Let us pray together. Most gracious God, you have called us to tend and keep the garden of your creation. We give thanks for the beauty that is around us and for the farmers' hard work in the fields and the crops that we have sown and the harvest that has been gleaned. We come before you to pray for the well-being of the planet. You alone know the full extent of the destruction we have wrought to your beautiful handiwork and what needs to be done to remedy it. We pray for the people around the globe who suffer because of environmental damage. We pray for the defenseless creatures being harmed or made extinct by our selfishness and ignorance. We pray for the oceans, the air, the mountains, the plants, and the soil, that life and health may again pulse in them. We pray that we humans might have a change of heart and stop harming the planet. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us that we may have the passion and wisdom to work effectively to restore your creation. Bless the earth and all its life in every way. This week we continue to hold the young Kesgrave student who was shot, and we give thanks that at the time of filming now, he is conscious, but still in intensive care. We pray for your healing for him and strength for his family. And we pray for the family of Peter Cole at Sibden and Peasenhall in their grief after he passed away suddenly last weekend. Help us remember that we are your beloved children and that we live in your beloved world. Bring your healing and wholeness into our lives and to the whole earth. We pray in the name of our Maker, our Saviour and our Friend, saying together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank those who have participated in our worship service today, to Elizabeth Story for reading our scripture, to Elizabeth and Neil Heffelwaite and my husband Adrian for the music for our service today. Next week we have Dr. Liz Cope preaching our message for us. Liz is from Elmsett Methodist Church, and her title of her sermon will be "Will You Join the Banquet?" as she looks at the Gospel of Matthew and the story of Jesus inviting all to the banquet. As we've just been celebrating the earth and this year's harvest, I encourage you, as well as giving your regular offering, to give a gift to your local food pantry, such as Find, or to our Methodist Relief and Development Agency, All We Can, who've got a harvest appeal called Change Begins with a Bicycle. The websites are findipswich.org.uk and allwecan.org.uk. So let us now pray a blessing. All good gifts come from you, dear God, and you reveal glimpses of your grace through them. Thank you for inviting us to be partners with you in caring for your creation. We offer these gifts now, knowing that they came first from you and now from us. Bless these symbols of our awareness that we depend on you and your creation for all that we call ours. Accept these gifts, and may they be used to bless others. In your name, amen. Let us close in thanks as we thank our bounteous God for his countless gifts of love. Number 81, Now thank we all our God with our hearts and hands and voices. Go from here, giving thanks for the harvest. Go to work and take care of God's creation. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.